This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. You're listening to Tech Talk. Many scholars and policymakers have noted that the fields of science, technology, engineering and mathematics, STEM, have remained predominantly male with historically low participation among women since the origins of these fields. According to UNESCO, 48.19% of students enrolled in science programs in Malaysia were female as of 2011. The number has grown significantly in the past three decades, during which the country's employment of women has increased by 95%. In Malaysia, over 50% of employees in the computer industry, which is generally a male-dominated field within STEM, are women, while in engineering, only 36% of students are female. And so it is promising, but there's a lot more that can be done. Well, I'm here with Amanda Chin from Revenue Monster, who will be sharing with us about her journey from electric vehicles to e-wallets. Nice to be speaking to you, Amanda.
Hey, Frida, how are you?
Right.
Thank you very much for having me on your show.
Oh, it's a pleasure. So we've got to start somewhat from the beginning about from electric vehicles, a little bit about your background.
Wow. Okay, where do I begin? I've spent about nearly 15 years working my way in, you know, various industries and dabbled in various roles. So I would say it's pretty colourful in that sense. Let me start perhaps in chronological order. I'm a Malaysian, born and bred here. In my nearly 15, 14 years of experience, I've dabbled in sales, branding, partnership, innovation, and recently now driving business. I have also experience with tech, obviously, right? Pioneering a lot of new technology companies, as well as from an industry standpoint, really from agency consulting to tech. So, and of course, as of recently, I'm now serving as the CEO of Revenue Monster, a Malaysian fintech company that aims to pioneer business digitalization.
Right. And of course, you know, a little bit about your time working with Detroit Electric.
Well, to be frank, it was by chance that I stumbled into it. They were, of course, my clients when they were in Malaysia working on a partnership with a local automotive player here. Right. That was about 10 years ago. So literally, I think, at that time, it was still at very much inception. Of course, everyone knows about Tesla now, right? In fact, we started up at the same time as Tesla and really pioneering our way through this entire new industry at that time, right? In fact, my family over here in Malaysia, because I was also working abroad as well. So my family and friends in Malaysia thought I was a little bit crazy to really dabble into an industry that, you know, really there was a lot of uncertainty.
Right.
But of course, it was quite challenging, right? And in fact, I think at that time, without even realizing, I was actually in the startup world, even before the whole startup movement came about, right? I was supposed about 6 to 7 years ago.
Right. Then from there, of course, you were with Touch and Go, you know,
and of course, you
drove the e-wallet initiative. And maybe from there, how you springboard into Revenue Monster.
Okay. So then, of course, after, you know, I think with the EV industry, I think it was quite an experience because I worked with really global teams, right? And I think that sort of set the standard on how I approach businesses and how I approach technology and innovation. After which I came back and I joined TNG. And of course, you know, I was tasked really with a problem statement of, you know, how do I drive innovation and how do we pivot from a 20-year-old company at that time to make it more relevant and more digital.
Right.
So there was certainly a lot of opportunities with the company then. And of course, again, it shows now, right? It's now the number one e-wallet in Malaysia. And even also at that time, 4 years ago, when we dabbled with e-wallets, again, you know, everyone was asking us, what is e-wallets, right?
Right.
So again, from I suppose I somehow dabbled into really almost ahead of the curve a lot of times, right? And I suppose it was not easy as well.
Right. And of course, now you've moved on to Revenue Monster. How is this role, I guess, different from what you've done previously or an evolution of what you've done so far?
So again, first and foremost, from EVs, really driving an entirely different industry altogether, and then to now cashless, which was 4 years ago. And of course, we also saw, again, ahead of the curve that, you know, it requires an entirely new ecosystem driven, not just with payments, but definitely all aspects of the businesses require digital. And as you know as well, I think we are living and breathing it now, right? The pandemic has literally, you know, shifted this speed. So I think it's no longer just a concept that, you know, we dabbled with anymore. And I think timing cannot be better, right, to actually drive an entire ecosystem change for businesses to adopt, not just for payments, right? Payments is just one of them. But of course, being a digitally with the company whereby our DNA is driven from everything that is digital, we were also infected during the revolution of e-wallets in Malaysia. Right. So I think on that front, we see a lot of competition, of course, right? But ultimately, I think what's more important is it's got to have a very digital experience. Like anything else, you kind of need to know that it's really not there. Right. And I think a very successful digital company or solution would actually display that, you know, it's almost so intuitive that you don't even know that it's there. Right. Ultimately, I think that should be our goal moving forward.
Right. So that it's so what do you call it, ubiquitous in our lives that we don't even know that.
Correct.
For those of you, of us who don't know what Revenue Monster is, can you tell us a little bit about the company?
Sure. So Revenue Monster ultimately is a Malaysian fintech. We provide business tools, businesses to adopt very seamlessly. So all in one platform, you're able to enable a cashless payment, whether it is offline or online, right? Again, our DNA is online first. On top of that, because of the pandemic, right, the team has also curated an a la carte online store for businesses to just plug in on the fly and have an online experience, an online store integrated with delivery channels.
Right.
Right. So that has actually been incepted quite recently in March. You know, the team conceptualized it during the lockdown and we figured, you know, we have to support these SMEs to adopt digital. Right. So that's on that front. And then, of course, you know, businesses are also thinking about how do I, you know, sustain my business? How do I make sure that, you know, customers come back to me, right, that I can get recurring customers back to my store. So all this sort of links back together, right, with some loyalty payments, with a la carte online store, and of course, a delivery ecosystem that merchants and retailers can actually plug in.
Okay. And I guess, like, if I were to ask you, you know, what do you hope to achieve at Revenue Monster? What will, you know, people know Amanda Chin for doing at Revenue Monster?
I would say it would be through collaboration. I think I'm looking forward to actually collaborate more with the industry players, right? Because we can only do so much as, you know, as an organization, right? So I foresee there will be a lot more collaboration to drive an ecosystem change. That means not just for payments, but, you know, the entire vertical of a business should drive and do digital, right? And experience digital. And unfortunately, with this pandemic, right, we really have no choice, like you've rightfully mentioned.
Right.
And I foresee that this is the beginning of a new good change, right? And I think that will be our purpose, to actually support SMEs to go digitally in a very seamless manner. So on one platform, the merchants and our customers are able to subscribe to new additional add-on services as they dabble with digital, right? So I think that would be the easiest way for us to approach an entirely ecosystem change.
All right. And we'll talk a little bit more about, you know, what are some challenges that businesses are facing when it comes to digitalization after this. I'm here with Amanda Chin from Revenue Monster. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Balanced Frank Medium. BFM 89.9.
You're listening to Tech Talk. My name is Frida Liu. I'm here with Amanda Chin from Revenue Monster here with me. And we were just early on, we were talking about her career from electric vehicles to e-wallets, and now with Revenue Monster. You know, when it comes to, you know, what you've seen, right? What are some of the challenges that businesses are facing when it comes to digitalization?
I think for businesses, for the ones who have not tried digital, I think it's very daunting for them because unfortunately in the past couple of years back before the pandemic, right, everyone is talking about big data, fintech, IoT, right? So your typical, you know, mom and pop shop would not know what is that, right? So ultimately, I think it's really educating and bringing awareness in really bite sizes. Right. So potentially, yes, from payments first, right? And then moving on to what other services or what other aspects of my business can go digital, right? So at this juncture, and again, fortunately and unfortunately, from this pandemic, right, a lot of brick and mortar stores have lost that side of the revenue stream, right? So which is why we have built a la carte for businesses to actually plug in on the fly and then immediately continue running their businesses. And then potentially even bringing more revenue streams, right? Because they can now dabble into promoting their product and services online, on social media, and what have you. Right. So I think from that front, I foresee that will be the immediate challenge, right? Is to really, you know, finding which aspects can go digital. And then potentially, maybe we can work on a hybrid model, right, for most businesses. You know, sustain an offline store with an online a la carte store, or maybe just purely go online and online now, right? Especially this year in 2020, whereby, you know, we're going with multiple lockdowns and whatnot.
So beyond payments, you were saying you're doing a la carte, right? What will be next usually from most organizations, if you're talking about the smaller businesses?
I foresee loyalty would be one of them. Ultimately, I think as a partnership, as a tech enabler, right, a lot of businesses would, I mean, I am myself as a business as well, we would really see how can I capture more markets, that's one. Two, how do I sustain them? Three, how do I amplify my brand moving forward?
Right.
So ultimately, I foresee the tools that we will develop moving forward will serve those purposes.
Right. Okay. You know, a little bit, still back to you again, what is about an innovation that has constantly drawn you to it throughout your career?
I think it's both, I would say, nurture and nature. Right. I think my friends would agree with me. I think I've always dabbled into really pushing boundaries, really looking into what the next milestone is. So I think on that sense, right, it's very much a very innovation concept, right? You're always looking to find better ways of doing things. And like you or not, we're in 2020, right? So we are, and a lot of industries are really ripe for digitalization. And like you or not, like I suppose wherever industry that we are in, whatever product that we are trying to sell, right, whatever services that we are trying to position out to the market, there's always ways of better ways of doing things. So that's why I foresee that, you know, I've always seen technology will be always the enabler for whatever that we do, right? And it will always, you know, provide us a different avenue, a more efficient way of doing things.
Right. And where does the balance lie between innovation, digitalization, and other business priorities, or do you think they're one and the same?
I think they're definitely one of the same. If you ask me before the pandemic, though, a lot of times businesses and leaders will tell you, okay, right, we will have an innovation department, which I previously led. And it didn't used to come from a top-down approach, right, but more of a conceptual approach. But now, really, like you said, right, there is no other way of doing things anymore. So, and that has accelerated the speed for digitalization.
Okay. Well, what is your thought process when it comes to innovation or your approach?
Well, not really by the book. So my thought process would be really what are the problems that we are trying to solve, right? And ultimately breaking down into either, you know, either is it the customer experience or is it supply chain or is it potentially serving and making a market accessible, right, to the underserved? So that would be my approach, and then subsequently, you know, working out a model which enabled, again, by technology, right, to serve this market, to ease the processes, potentially, right? So that would be my thought process.
Right. And, you know, encouraging more women in this space, right? What has your been experience as a woman pushing innovation in tech? Has that ever been a factor?
Yes and no. Looking back, I have not seen it as championing women, so to speak, but more championing inclusivity.
Right.
Right. And that includes women, potentially even segments of minority, right? Or even age, experiences, different culture. So I've had a very global experience, and I think coming back to Malaysia, I could say that it requires a lot more diversity on that front, because innovation ultimately, you know, the objective of that is to actually serve the people, right? And that's how I see my work as well. I look at work as really a service, either to your team, either to your market, or the people that you're trying to provide such services to. So I think with regards to women, I think as long as there is more diverse people participating in providing or curating those services, the better it becomes.
Yeah, right. And you know, what made you decide to come back to Malaysia? Can't we just work?
First and foremost, I was homesick, obviously.
Okay.
Again, it's not easy. You know, you're in your 20s and you're really traveling and working in a startup. But however, you know, the environment is not super conducive as well for startups at that time. I think it was about 10 years ago. So now it's a lot better to really create new products and services because, you know, the infrastructure allows you to do that. Yeah, so hence I'm here. And ultimately, I think, you know, this will always be home, right? Malaysia will always be home.
Right.
And it's quite interesting, I suppose, to actually serve the Malaysian market. It's an entirely new, different dynamics, different team as well. Right. So yeah.
And if you look at, you know, yourself as a CEO, what do you think still needs to be done to make the industry more accommodating already for women in key leadership positions? I mean, in your case, you know, again, was gender a factor, or is it just ability that got you where you are? Were there any hindrances with you being a woman?
It really depends on the environment, right? So again, for innovation to thrive, you require a very open environment and a very diverse environment, right? Trying new things and whatnot. So which is why because very short, when I first came back, yes, it was quite challenging. Also depends on your environment, right? The organization that you're in. And ultimately, I think culture plays a very important role in ensuring that innovation thrives in an organization. Coming back, you're young, you're female, you're rather, you know, assertive and potentially sometimes, you know, rather straightforward as well. So again, it really depends, right? And ultimately, I think if we are challenged by such environment, you got to do certain step changes to change the culture, right? Potentially bringing in new people, right, to actually change the dynamics of things.
Right.
And I think that would be key, right? So right now, like now that I'm in a leadership position as well, right, I foresee that happening moving forward, because ultimately I think the only way for us to provide services to the Malaysian market is to make sure the people that is curating the products and services, right, is able to input some of these needs and needs of the business, right, to serve the market.
Because they would better understand the market that you're trying to sell to, right?
Correct.
So how are you, I don't know how large a team you're leading, but how are you setting the culture there? What are some of the things that you're doing at Revenue Monster?
So again, I am looking to even make it more diverse, of course, right? Make it more diverse, allowing a safe space for the team to work as well. Right, which means, you know, allowing certain thought processes to be voiced out, allowing even for failure, right? I think that's very important, especially if you've also got a very young team. So ultimately, I think, you know, the team, we've got about 50 plus people, and majority are actually engineers, right? Mm. It's also this openness, this trial and error, I think we should adopt moving forward.
Right. Well, thanks for spending time with us. I've been speaking to Amanda Chin from Revenue Monster. You've been listening to Tech Talk, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.